Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into The Kevin Zimmerman Show. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Pacific Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/zimmerman.htm, and that's capital Z. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here is your host of The Kevin Zimmerman Show, Kevin Zimmerman.
Hi, and welcome to the Artist First Radio Network, The Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. On this show, you, the listening audience, will connect with soldiers and authors, athletes and entrepreneurs, and anyone who has a story. So if you are an author or an entrepreneur and you're seeking publicity, log on to artistfirst.com. Go to our homepage and follow the link. Thank you to each and every one of you that are tuned in. The Artist First Radio Network is proud to acknowledge that we have over 65,000 listeners worldwide, many of those who serve in the United States Armed Forces, some as far away as Afghanistan and other deployed locations worldwide. To the brave men and women who serve our country, I love you, I salute you, and you will always be supported here on The Kevin Zimmerman Show. Folks, I support our soldiers in various ways. One, I have a book that is dedicated to soldiers but applicable to all. It's called A Time for Everything, The Kevin Zimmerman Story. It's a second edition written by Michael L. White. The book chronicles my life from childhood up to two miraculous events when the awesome hand of God safely navigated me through two heavily infested minefields while I served as a flight medic in Bosnia-Herzegovina with the United States Army. Two, you can make a donation. Log on to artistfirst.com, select The Kevin Zimmerman Show, and then select the link that says Make a Donation. And last, you can become a sponsor. To become a sponsor, log on to artistfirst.com, select Kevin Zimmerman Show. Then you'll find a link that says For More Information About Kevin Zimmerman. Select that link and then select the contact button. Proceeds that I receive from the book as well as The Kevin Zimmerman Show are used towards donations for our wounded warriors and their families along with soldier support organizations. Now, tonight we are going to have a great show. So I want to let you guys prepare yourself for such a wonderful and miraculous individual that I've now come to know for quite a couple of years. Her name is Dr. Quindola Crawley. Now, before I let you meet Quindola, guys and girls, I got to share with you a personal experience of mine. This week, my boss and I had to travel to Fort Polk, Louisiana. Now, I know some of you out there understand what I'm talking about. If you've ever been to Fort Polk, Fort Polk is in the backwoods of nowhere. You can get to Fort Polk in two ways, by two routes, rather. One, you could come by way of Houston, which we came, or you could fly in to Alexandria, Louisiana, and you can come in that way. Both are two-lane roads that require you to drive for miles or hours. It's like driving in the Twilight Zone, and then you pop out, and you're there at Fort Polk, Louisiana. Now, I don't want to get in trouble here. I said all that to say this. In my mind, I believe that the men and women at Fort Polk, Louisiana, have to be some of the mentally toughest individuals that are on the face of this planet. You got to be stationed at Fort Polk. So as I shared with you here on The Kevin Zimmerman Show, we are always supportive of our men and women in uniform. So after what I've shared with you, I ask everyone that's under the sound of my voice to be praying for our soldiers at Fort Polk, Louisiana. Now back to the show. Dr. Quindola Crawley is a businesswoman, a leader. She's an entrepreneur and a CEO. She is a sought-after speaker, respectable woman of God, a minister, board-certified clinician, a life and business coach. She's an author, mother, and a wife. She is a speaker who is transparent and liberating. Dr. Quindola Crowley is a visionary writing each chapter of her life while transcending experiences and empowering others to live their lives to the fullest. Dr. Crowley has a very eclectic background that lends her favor in most any endeavors. From military to corporate, she has spanned the horizons with her gifts and talents. She has a master's degree in social work and a doctorate in nonprofit leadership. Dr. Crowley has over 15 years executive-level leadership experience that she lends to assist small organizations and nonprofits with business mapping and strategic planning. Lieutenant Colonel Retired Crowley, a distinguished veteran, held three successful commands, one as an engineer officer and then two other commands while serving as a Medical Service Corps officer. After culminating her military career with the successful command of a logistical support battalion, Lieutenant Colonel Crowley retired after 29 years of service and went on to lead a state medical facility whose services focused on veterans. As the governor-appointed superintendent of the Washington State Veterans Home, Dr. Crowley was noted for her transformational leadership and monumental cost savings while providing state-of-the-art health care to veterans. Dr. Crowley later served as the deputy director of behavioral health for the Western Regional Medical Command, which serves a 20-state region with 11 hospitals. Dr. Crowley opened Transition Wellness Center. Transitions provide life-changing services in the areas of behavior health, counseling for women dealing with trauma, and life coaching for those in need of life transformation of mind, body, and soul. Dr. Crowley has always felt that knowledge is power. If you know better, you'll do better. With that in mind, she hosts an annual conference that brings women from across the nation to the Total Women's Conference for that experience. Dr. Crowley has many community awards and was most recently honored in 2011 in the Puget Sound for the Woman of Influence Award, sponsored by the Business Examiner. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome to the show Dr. Quindola Crowley. Dr. Crowley, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Wow.
who you're describing, that's a pretty lengthy bio.
You know it's a lengthy bio because you rendered all of those efforts to earn all of those accolades. None of that was expressed was given to you. You worked hard. You were supported tremendously by your family. You exerted the effort, so therefore, when that happens, God blesses you with a bio such as that. And we're honored to have you on the show. Dr. Crowley, is there anything that you would like to say to our men and women in uniform?
Well, I salute you. That's the first thing I say. And it's an honor to be here with you, Kevin. You know, after having served with you many years ago, I've watched your path and am very appreciative of the work that you do and how you continue to serve veterans as well.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Crowley, and that you're so right. We serve together, and it's just amazing as I see the things that are happening in your life. Although we've transitioned from military life to civilian life, our commitment to serve just doesn't stop, does it? That commitment to serve just does not stop. And so pretty soon we're going to be getting into some very, very good information that you have to share. So ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience, don't go away. We'll be right back in 1 minute. We'll be right back.
And now back to the show with your host, Kevin Zimmerman.
Welcome back to the Artist First Radio Network, the Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. And again, I want to let you guys know that we are here with Dr. Quindola Crowley. You heard her amazing introduction. Now we're going to turn most of the air over to Dr. Crowley. She's going to be talking to us about something that is very, very prevalent that is being faced in the military today, and that is on the subject of military sexual trauma. Dr. Crowley, why don't you talk about military sexual traumas and enlighten us from your perspective?
Well, you know, that's actually one of the areas that I am most concerned about these days with our women veterans and our current warriors. Is military sexual trauma. It's much more prevalent than we've realized. I'm also looking at that in terms of how women are receiving treatment for PTSD and military sexual trauma. Military sexual trauma is sometimes called MST. Excuse me. It's called MST, but it's a psychological trauma, and it's resulting from any type of physical assault of a sexual nature. It could be a battery of sexual assault. It could be sexual harassment. It could be both physical, emotional. It's repeated. It's unsolicited. It's verbal. It's physical. But it's a contact of a sexual nature that's very threatening to that female. And what makes sexual trauma so unique is that It's a unique trauma in that as soldiers, we're trained to trust our buddies. We're trained to come together as a team and really work together. And when sexual trauma occurs in the military, it's almost like being offended by a family member. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty significant. If you think in terms of, Kevin, and you know, as a when you were a soldier and how you trained with your team and how well you all, how close you became and how you could almost predict one another, because if there was ever an occasion where you had to really look out for each other, you needed to be able to depend on that person and you needed to know that they had your back. Well, when these incidents are occurring in theater or even locally, you know, here on bases locally, it's pretty significant in theater that we have a number of events that were actually over the course of the last 10 years that have been reported. And I say 10 years just in terms of the war, say the last 10 or 11 years since we've been a nation at war, we have more and more reports of sexual trauma. And it's not just in the females, it's actually in men as well. The numbers are rising for men that are reporting military sexual trauma. The work that I do is primarily focused on women, but with that, in terms of just understanding the camaraderie and the teamwork that occurs within the context of the military, that's probably one of the most devastating offenses that could occur is when, whether you're male or female, is to be sexually assaulted by a peer or a leader, doesn't matter. Just the fact that someone in your network has breached that level of confidence with you. And so it's a hard to heal, you know, any type of trauma, but psychological trauma is probably the most difficult trauma to heal. Physical trauma, you see the scars, tissue kind of cover over and the pain goes away eventually, but psychological trauma is probably the most difficult trauma to heal. You know, I don't know. What's your experience with that?
You know, my experience, Dr. Crowley, is somewhat different than what I'm seeing that is starting to escalate with our military today. You actually said something that just drew my mind back to the type of camaraderie that we had when we served. And I myself, I deployed. I deployed to Operation Desert Shield, Operation Desert Storm. I was in the peacekeeping exercise in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And it was just, it's amazing to me the type of feelings that I witnessed that were harnessed or held within to treat one another like family when I served. And when I see these numbers here, it is startling. Now, not to say that one medical occupational specialty is better than the other, but I was fortunate to be amongst those of the military healthcare arena. I don't know, Dr. Crowley, I don't know the MOSs that tend to spike more in these types of events, more of one than the other, but I just know that when I served, I did not see, or it was not witnessed, or you didn't see the change in behavior from a male or female soldier that may have encountered something of this nature. It is very disturbing because I went and I did some research, and I found in the Journal of Women's Health, and this was published in February, excuse me, back in February of 2010, and even back then, the men's records that were screened were 1,032 records. Of the women's records that were screened was only 197. Still, in MST, military sexual trauma, the women were showed 14% positive to men's 1%. Another thing that really hit the nail with the hammer that you shared was the result from it, because it showed here the depression rate for women were 48% to the men's 39%. And I read a little bit further where it says they suffer more from depression than they did from PTSD. And so it is startling to me when I see those kind of numbers and the kind of relationships that are happening within the military today, because it is based on somewhat of a family unit. A question I'd like to ask is, I know we can only speculate, but why do you think this is happening?
I don't know. I think if that were, I think that's the million-dollar question, actually. If we could all answer that question, maybe we could stop it from happening. My anecdotal response to that is, when people are in very stressful environments, they act out. You know, we're seeing other types of incidents occur that are out of character for individuals. At least that's how it's reported. You know, some pretty significant, horrific events have occurred with soldiers, and folks will describe it as out of the norm. That's out of character for that person. They wouldn't have expected that person to do that or to behave that way. And so when people are put into situations that they don't understand and that they don't have a way to reconcile within themselves, I think they act out. And sometimes they act out of character, but they act out. It reminds me of a story that a soldier shared with me about an incident that occurred when they were deployed downrange in Iraq, and they had come across some Iraqi soldiers that were actually booby-trapping the road with an IED, and the IED exploded. And so, you know, the soldiers responded to that. And the soldiers shared with me the types of the varying responses that came from some of the soldiers. And one laughed. One laughed at how they had handled the situation. And this soldier thought, well, why would they laugh? You know, because no one wins in this instance. No one is a winner, and it's not funny. And explaining that to this young soldier, that everybody deals with stress and trauma differently, that might have been the only way that person could process it at that time. I don't want to excuse anyone's behavior, because at the end of the day, you make a choice to do whatever it is you do. And you have, as a free will agent, you have the opportunity to choose, and you can choose to act out or not. But given the circumstances, I think, you know, some of our soldiers are pretty young, and they don't have life experiences that have taught them how to cope and how to cope in extreme situations. And you and I both know we can go through lots and lots of training, but until you go through certain types of situations, you don't get the real experience until you experience it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Dr. Crowley, another thing that I try to wrap my head around, and again, for all of you that are out there listening, I'm certainly not passing judgment on anyone. These are just things that we have to be honest with ourselves and accept the fact that these kind of things are happening within our United States Armed Forces. So I want to make sure I say that before I go on to speak any further. But there was a time when we screened the soldier that was coming into the military. And it just makes me wonder that over the past 10 years, when we got into this crisis that we were currently faced with in fighting the war on terror, was there a change in criteria that could have possibly permitted a great deal of soldiers, both male and female, into the military that at one time they possibly would not have got through that screening process? What is your take on that, Dr. Crowley?
Well, I want to be careful to like you said, to make any judgments and to label any particular group of people or any of that. But I understand what you're saying, and yes, you know, the standards were changed. We've relaxed the standards to where we have many individuals who have previous behavioral health type issues that are coming in. And I think we've always had individuals with previous trauma in their history. How well they have been able to manage that and move forward varies from individual to individual. I mean, every third person or fourth person statistically has had, you know, some level of sexual assault, whether it's male or female. The statistics are actually pretty startling. So they may have been sexually abused as a child, whether you're male or female. If you think about a crowd in a crowded room, every fourth or fifth person has probably had some exposure to sexual trauma. That's pretty significant, and that's pretty startling. How people manage that is something totally different. And if you look at the numbers, if we were to break down the demographics of the military and we look at the numbers and we see this majority of young people, I think that's where we are most concerned. We have another generation that's coming in, and this generation of young people, you know, that are 28 and younger, are a group that have a different set of values, they have a different set of exposures, and this group of young people, in my experience, in the work that I do clinically and otherwise, what I see is their coping mechanisms are very different.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the same strengths and wherewithals in their coping mechanisms that perhaps our generation of folks have. It's, you know, they've been very, very taken care of in lots of ways. They have been sheltered emotionally to some degree. And even if they've had some bad experiences, however that was managed or not, it put them in a position where they may have learned. But I don't think anything puts you in position to experience what you experience in theater for some of our soldiers. And with that, they haven't been able to reconcile life experiences, family life experiences, traumatic life experiences with wartime experiences. And to walk into those situations without having a strong foundation and knowing how to manage those kinds of traumatic experiences, you know, sets them up to not heal and to maybe act out even more. Does that make sense?
It really, really does. Folks, we're talking with Dr. Quindola Crowley right here on Artist First Radio Network, The Kevin Zimmerman Show. We're going to go away for 1 minute, but don't go away. We're on a very, very hot topic here, and we'll be right back.
Now back to the show with your host, Kevin Zimmerman.
Folks, you're listening to the Artist First Radio Network, The Kevin Zimmerman Show. We're here with Dr. Quindola Crowley. If you've been listening to the show, we just covered a very, very prevalent topic that's happening in the United States military, which is military sexual trauma. Now we're going to transition a little bit, and we're going to talk about the care for veterans after someone goes through something of this nature. Thank God the military now has the attitude to say, we have to take care of our own. I'm going to get out of your way, and I'm going to let the expert talk about this. You're listening to Dr. Quindola Crowley.
There are quite a few programs that are out there to assist in the healing process. And the healing is long-term, and it varies from individual to individual, but the good thing is, and the good news is that the active military is listening, the Department of Defense is listening and paying attention and ensuring that there are resources to address the issues with women and men related to military sexual trauma. The VA is paying attention. They do several types of screenings, both the active military and the VA are doing screenings to ensure that they address this issue. So if they're reporting it, there's opportunity for treatment. And so there are lots of treatments. One of the treatment programs I'd like to mention that the Department of Veterans Affairs has is the Women's Trauma Recovery Program. It's located in Menlo Park, California. It was opened up in 1992. And it's as a part of the National Center for PTSD. But they focus on women recovering. And it's a pretty, it's an inpatient program. It's a 60-day intensive inpatient residential program. And it's, I know some folks personally that have gone through that program, and they absolutely have had great results. And generally, you'll have, in this women's program, the average age is usually about 46, but the age ranges from 27 to 62. They've had women come through from the Vietnam era. They've had Desert Storm come through. They've had OEF, OIF come through. They've had 12% of their women that have come through were active duty during their admission, so they were on active duty when they came through, which tells me that the military is paying attention, and if they have a significant enough issue and there's a prevalence that's really impacting their ability to perform and do their job, that they are willing to allow them to go into that type of treatment. So that's very encouraging.
Yes, it is.
So that's one of the premier programs that's out there, but there's quite a bit going on. And then you have lots and lots of providers out in the communities that are training themselves on military sexual trauma specifically. There are some strong, strong advocates out there in the community that are doing great work to ensure that this topic is being addressed legislatively as well. We have some really significant folks here in the state of Washington that have done some really good work with that. Susan Avila is one of them. She is just the strongest advocate I know that's out there. She's worked with claims. She's ensured that women and men are getting their claims forward. And I say that while we're talking about healing and treatment, because that's part of the process. And if you're coming out, you're dealing with this issue, you need to heal from this issue, but you don't have the resources. You know, our veterans are coming and they're leaving the military, and some of them are homeless and they don't have resources. And so those VA claims and that disability rating and percentage is pretty significant for them. And being able to address this issue in particular has been problematic over the years because it wasn't PTSD. You know, the symptoms vary from person to person. How that person is dealing with it, it could be similar to PTSD. It could be anxiety producing. It could have a mixture of. Many of the women come through and they have comorbidities. They have, you know, problems with chronic fatigue and other issues that are surfacing that are related to symptomatically to that military sexual trauma. So the resources are increasing. The community resources are increasing. There are lots of clinicians, social workers, psychologists, psychotherapists that are out in the various communities that are really strengthening their skills and being able to address this particular issue with soldiers, because it does take someone who understands the community of the military, because that's just as relevant. You know, you can't address the issue without understanding the context and the culture from which the individuals who suffer come from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is such an encouraging thing to see. We've come such a very, very long way. When, if you can remember back to the days of the Vietnam era, when our soldiers would go and sacrifice themselves just to come home and be spit upon, to now the government, the military, the local community getting to that place of saying, these are our folks, these are our family, these are our soldiers, and if they put themselves in a position for the betterment of our freedom, and especially if they encounter the kind of horrific events that is manifested by, you know, military sexual trauma, then we should do everything within our power to take care of our own. And when I witness this, Dr. Crowley, I have got to say to you that I am exceedingly excited about the course that we're finally starting to take.
Well, it, you know, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged. We don't do enough and we don't do it fast enough, but, you know, we're doing something. And I still say we, you know, I'm not on active duty, but I'm on the veteran side and
right,
working with veterans. So either way, you know, I'm engaged in the fight as best as I can to in the world that I can touch to influence, to ensure that those services are there, because we have to do it. Like you said, this it's our duty. It's our duty to continue to serve our warriors as they come home. We have to have something here, and we have to have the resources available for them.
Absolutely. You know, I'm in a very, very unique position. Where I work at, I'm near the center of the Intrepid, located on Fort Sam, Houston, Texas. And so I have the advantage of talking to various military service members, of those or their spouses or significant others, of those who are wounded warriors. And also right there at Brooke Army Medical Center, the spouses and significant others of those who have encountered all kinds of horrific things, from traumatic brain injuries, from amputations, to dealing or speaking with family members that have encountered military sexual trauma. And one of the things that I find very, very encouraging, that I found encouraging, and I don't know the magnitude of scale that this is happening regarding family members or significant others, but those that I've spoken with, the level of commitment that they have to be by the side of the individual that has gone through the, or that is going through the recovery or the healing. And when I talk to them, they've left everything behind. And their primary focus is on that soldier. I even talked to one lady who had been staying, who had been away from home for 26 months. And she had her two children with her. And when I talked to her, what she said was, nothing else matters right now. I am where I'm supposed to be. And what's drawing me to talk about this now is the point that you've made, how folks are gradually coming together for the betterment of the soldier because of that support that they're getting in-house, from the support that they're getting from the military, the support that they're getting from the government. Like you say, it's a lot of work to do, but it's encouraging to see us pushing in that direction and everybody involved from top to bottom. Captain Crowley, I mean, I'm talking to you like you're still my commander. Dr. Crowley, we're going to go away. We'll take one break here. But when we come back, we got some more exciting things to talk about. Understand that you have a book published, and you're also working on another one. But let me ask you this. You shared some great information with us. If someone wanted to reach you just to ask you some questions, do you have a website that you're willing to share, or an email address that you're willing to share, just for someone to contact you to gain some information if they desire to do so?
Oh, absolutely. They can go to Quindola.com. It's Quindola.com. And there's a couple places there that they can actually, it says for speaking engagements, but you can definitely go in and send a message through there, and I will get it and I will respond to it. Usually within 24 hours, you'll get a response from me.
All right, folks, we're talking to Dr. Quindola Crowley right here on Artists First Radio Network, The Kevin Zimmerman Show. Don't go away. We'll be back in 1 minute. We'll be right back.
And now back to the show with your host, Kevin Zimmerman.
Welcome back to the Artist First Radio Network, the Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm live with Dr. Quindola Crowley. We've been talking about the subject of military sexual trauma. She's covered the care that you can get for veterans, especially for someone that's encountered something of that nature. But she's got some great news to share with us as well. As you've been listening, you can see that Dr. Crowley is a plethora of information. But you don't have to miss all of this information and all of this good stuff from Dr. Crowley if you didn't hear the show, because Dr. Crowley has some publications out there. Dr. Crowley, why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, so this is pretty exciting. The first book that I did was entitled Refined by Fire, which I was invited to participate in, and that was about the secrets of becoming a champion of life challenges. That was one of the subtitles, and so we wrote into that book, and so that really encouraged me to finish up the work that I had been working on for a while, and so that was part of the journey to birth Triumphs of the Ordinary Woman, Essays on Reposition, Resilience, and Restoration. And this book is about every woman. That's the feedback I get from those that have read it. It's about relationships. It's about health. It's about poor choices. It's about the consequences of those poor choices. It's about mothers and daughters. But more than anything, it shows you, it talks about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, the power that forgiveness allows in the transformation of that, that repositioning is in that forgiveness, and it talks about restoration, and so that's a pretty powerful book. It's short, it's very easy to read, and so I'm doing a trilogy of that, and the next book is entitled, that will come out actually in the spring of 2013, it's Triumphs of the Soul. And because I'm the type of person that really likes to reach out and empower others to do what God has put on their heart to do, Triumphs of the Soul, I've invited others to participate in. And so they will share their triumphant stories and just be able to bless folks with, you know, how they move through some of these particular events in their lives. And it's already amazing because what's unfolding is more than I could ever have imagined. But it truly is a book of encouragement, a book of sorting through and moving through, and really about the living a triumphant life and how you make that choice to do that. So that's pretty powerful. I'm excited about Triumphs of the Soul.
You should be. And folks, if you're out there listening, if you just heard a small amount of what Captain Dr. Crowley, I keep calling her Captain because I still see her as my commander in the military, but if you've heard a small amount of what Dr. Crowley had to share with us this evening, you can only but imagine what's in her books. Folks, go out there and purchase the books. Right now, Triumphs of the Ordinary Woman is available. Dr. Crowley, listen, if someone wanted to get the book, Triumphs of the Ordinary Woman, where can they go to get it?
Okay, so if you want a signed copy by the author, you can always go to my website at quindola.com, and you can purchase the book online. But you can actually go to any of your favorite book outlets. You can go to Amazon.com. You can walk into Barnes & Noble, and if it's not on the shelf, you can request that they order it and bring it to the shelf, and you can access it that way. And I encourage you to go out and get the book any way you choose to. However, if you get the book through my website, all proceeds of the book will go to the work that I do with Transitions Wellness. Transitions Wellness has moved its physical location, and we still do other virtual work, but all of those resources go back into creating opportunities for women. We do an annual conference that is a women's conference and a youth conference that we bring in women from all across the country to speak great positive things into the lives of both our women and our youth. And some pretty phenomenal people will come and dedicate their time to encouraging women to live their best lives, whether it's physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, all of that. So all the proceeds go back into creating those events, along with the retreat as well.
Well, Dr. Crowley, we certainly have been blessed exceedingly and abundantly by having you on our show tonight. You share some tremendous information. I just believe that the information that you did share with us tonight, someone out there that is listening is going to benefit from it. Now, folks, you that are out there listening, if you know someone that you feel can gain from the show that you heard this evening, have them to go, and they weren't able to hear it live with you, have them to log on to artistfirst.com, click on the Kevin Zimmerman Show, and the link will be there. So that will be archived forever on that homepage. This was very, very powerful information that was shared this evening, especially when we're talking about the kind of assistance that an individual can get if they experience the military sexual trauma, especially when you're talking about the kind of information you can get from that great book that she has out there to help women move forward in their own lives. So it's a lot of information in this show. Please have someone log on to artistfirst.com, select Kevin Zimmerman Show, have them to go and listen to it. Dr. Crowley, before you go and leave us this evening, is there one final thing that you'd like to say to all of your listeners?
Love your soldiers and your warriors. Salute them because the sacrifice that they make is something that they bear eternally. And the choice that they make to go and serve goes beyond anything that any of us can conceive sometimes, whether we agree politically or not. These are our young men and women that are out there, you know, creating opportunities for us. They make the sacrifice so that we have the opportunities that we have here. And so I salute them. And I salute my daughter. Can I just give a shout out to my daughter who is on active duty and continues to serve? My paratrooper daughter jumped into Normandy back in June, which was a very proud day. Pretty amazing young woman. So I continue to do the work that I do because of her and everyone else.
Well, thank you so much for those kind words, Dr. Crowley. And before we conclude, one of the things that I want to share with everyone that is listening, it is written in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, and verse 14, in spite of all of these things that are happening in our world, that are happening in our military, that is happening in our home, that passage said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land. And I believe that if we all just take a moment and say, God, help us, help our homes, help us as individuals, help our military, help this country, I know that he is a God that loves us. And in spite of all of the challenges that we're facing, at the end of the day, we all shall stand victoriously. Folks, I really, really enjoyed talking with you this evening. I know you enjoy the voice of Dr. Quindola Crowley and the information that she had to share. I will be looking forward to speaking with you again this time next week on this day. God bless you all and take care.